Thank you, Naomi. Thank you so much. Last night we had a wonderful service, and I just want to thank everyone that came and participated and was a part of that service. I deeply was moved in that service. If you were here, I'm sure that you recognize that. My heart was blessed, and my heart's blessed today to see you all on this beautiful and lovely Christmas morning. Believe it or not, it's not quite as hot today as it was last year on Christmas Day, so they tell me. I challenged you all several weeks back in the year, the month of December, to see if you could chronologically write out the Christmas story. Well, I'm so proud of our chairman and of deacons and his wife. I was handed this morning, and I'm going to grade it when I get home and return the paper to them and just let you all know how well they did. But that blesses my heart. It really does bless my heart. Last night I was standing at the door and greeting people as they were leaving. And one of the families that stayed in the blue house came in the church and came by me. They didn't realize it was me. They didn't recognize me. And then directly they came back out and they said, you're Pastor Johnny, aren't you? And I walked right out the house. I told Roma I want to read that card to the church in the morning, but I will read it to you. Excuse me. But it was a beautiful Christmas card, and they had left a gift to the church inside of that Christmas card. You never know when you're touching a life, when you're impacting somebody. you remember the lepers that was healed? You remember there was only one that came back and said thank you. You remember that? If it's just for one, if we just impact one family's life, what a difference it makes with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our slide for this morning. I love my tie. Can you see my tie? Can you see what's on the bottom of my tie? I've had this tie for ages. You can tell by the width. Wide ties are not quite in style right now, but Jesus is always in season. Naomi interviewed me when I was sitting there by Lucky, and I'm glad that she left my interview out, but I have a bone to pick. Can I do that on Christmas Day? And I see it all the time, and I've been guilty of saying it, but I want you to think about this for just a minute. He's the reason for the season. Well, he is. But if your faith is seasonal, you're in trouble. Now think about that. And if we're not careful in things we say, we will send a wrong message. So I wonder sometimes when we say he's the reason for the season, and then New Year's comes, and another year is here, and somehow or other, if we're not careful, we forget that baby that was born in the manger. And we go through the year until about a month before Christmas. Actually, now they've moved it up to even before Halloween with Christmas decorations and things in the stores. And then all of a sudden our mind begins to think again, the season is coming. I want to challenge you this morning that we not live in a season. That our life not become seasonal with our faith, our trust, our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to challenge you today that in 2017, it'll be Christmas and it'll be Easter all the year through. If we're not careful, we'll celebrate the day. And the day will come and the day will go. And all of a sudden our minds will become focused back on where we're living and what's happening and what's taking place in our lives. So having said that, I'm going to read some of the same passage that I read to you last night out of Luke's gospel. So if you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And we will begin reading a section from Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. Will you stand with me, please, as we read together God's word? And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and pondered in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Look up here just a minute. May we decide that in 2017, one of our goals is to find favor in God each and every day that we live. May our life be so structured that we would say, as Jesus said in John's gospel, I do always those things that please him. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth hath also conceived in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Do we believe that this morning? What are you facing in your life right now? What are you dealing with in your life right now? In your home, in your family, in your marriage, in your relationships, on your job. What are you dealing with today? What is facing you today? What is challenging you today? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to his word. And the angel departed from her. Thank you, and you may be seated. I read last night the passage out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. I want us to turn and to look at that text for just a few minutes now as we've read the passage out of Luke, chapter 1, as an introduction to this. But I want us to think for just a minute on what I'm going to call a sign. All my life, I have been taught that it was a lack of faith to ask God for a sign. I think at some point I may have even preached that because I had heard that from what I considered to be very reliable sources. But as I have begun to study my Bible in recent days, I find that the Word of God is confirmed by signs and wonders, miracles, things that stretch the imagination and the comprehension and the understanding of the human mind. Things that are beyond what we can concept and put in context together and formulate in our hearts and decide that it must be right because. You see, God has not left it to you and I to decide the destination of humanity. Aren't you glad? God in his providence in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, when Adam and Eve sinned, God promised a sign. And the sign would be fulfilled in the person of his son.
fulfilled that he would be born in a manger, fulfilled that he would die on the cross, fulfilled that 40 days after his death, burial, and resurrection, he would be visibly seen ascending into heaven. And the sign of an angel who appeared and said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus whom you've seen go shall so come again in like manner." So we are given a sign. Matthew writes in chapter 24. Mark writes in chapter 13. Luke writes in chapter 21 of the signs that point to the return and the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I began to review through my Bible, and I began to look, and I began to try to digest and to let Scripture speak, and to decide that what I had been traditionally taught, that what I had been traditionally examining and looking at in the Scripture, in thus saying the word of the Lord, I had to admit, God put a bow in the sky as a sign and said that it would never rain again and destroy the earth in that manner. So as I studied the Scripture and as I asked God to speak into my heart and into my spirit in preparation for today, I had to ask myself, did not God put signs all along the way to show his people the direction for their life? Yes, I've been taught. And yes, I think I have even preached. And I've always based it on Gideon and his fleece. You know the story of Gideon. He was seeking and determining the will of God and the plan of God and the purpose of God, and was he to do thus and so. And so he asked God to let the fleece be dry, and then he asked God to let the fleece be soaked. And so it was that God fulfilled so that the man of God might understand the purpose and the plan of God, and so that God would receive all of the praise and the honor and the glory. Do you understand that God hung the star in the sky that had one purpose and one purpose only? He reminded his people in Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17 that that sign would point, that a scepter would rise up in Israel, a king would be born. And so it is in our message this morning that we come down to the humble shepherds. The humble shepherds who have been keeping sheep. They are actually keeping sheep that are to be slaughtered. They're keeping sheep that are to be sacrificed. They're keeping sheep for temple worship of Jehovah God, for the cleansing, the covering of the sins of man. Because, you see, God appropriated his grace in that day based upon the lamb that was without spot and without blemish. And so when each one of those little baby lambs were born, those shepherds would take that lamb in its arms, and he would wrap it up tightly, and he would bundle it, and he would wrap it up in those swaddling clothes, and he would hold it against his chest, and he would protect it with his life. Why? Because it was going to be sacrificed for Jehovah God to cover his sins and the sins of all mankind who would place their faith and their confidence and their trust in the blood. So why would the angel Gabriel say to these humble shepherds on a hillside that night, "You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger"? Now, hello, listen just for a minute. Go home and study your Bible too. Nowhere is it mentioned anywhere else in Scripture that any other baby was wrapped in swaddling clothes but Jesus. Why? So that the humblest of the humblest, the lowest of the lowest, would recognize and see with their physical eyes, and faith would leap in their heart the moment they saw that baby who was to become the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. When they saw him wrapped in those swaddling clothes, tightly laid in a manger, so that no danger, no harm. Dr. Tom is sitting back there today, and medical science, Dr. Tom has written an article that said that the medical profession learned years ago that the best way to protect a newborn from hurting itself was to wrap it tightly. Ms. Louise, who was an RN, retired from what used to be Baptist Hospital, floor nurse, charge nurse. I like Ms. Louise. She loves to be in charge. Nothing wrong with that. That's what she did. She'll spank me afterwards. But she understands that concept. She understands and realizes how important that baby's life is, and how important it was that we learn from that the Scripture has taught us. And so he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he was laid in that manger. And when those humble shepherds came, they looked and they saw. And the Scripture said they returned. They didn't become Baptists. They returned glorifying. No, I'm just kidding. They returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard. I want to challenge you this morning. This message is simple. We've been given three signs. Look at them. Will you look at them with me? You see the second one? And maybe the third one is not quite as visible to you as I would like for it to be, but it's there. He ascended. And before he ascended, 500 brethren saw him alive after the resurrection. And then the Apostle Paul, who wrote at least half of the New Testament, says, and last of all, he was seen of me. Church, listen to me this morning. Watch for the signpost. Open your eyes to the Scriptures. For the story of Christmas is written all over. Each and every day we live, God is directing and guiding our lives. Just as the star brought the wise men to the house where Mary and Jesus were, and just as that same angel that spoke to Joseph and spoke to Mary came and spoke to those humble shepherds. And the Scripture says, and suddenly there was with him a multitude of the heavenly host, glorifying and praising God for all those things that they had seen and heard. The Christmas story is marked by sign after sign after sign. The Christian journey is marked by sign after sign after sign. If we'll just open our eyes, the eyes to our spiritual heart, our spiritual life, the innermost secret of our soul, God will reveal himself unto us just as he did those humble shepherds and those wise men that came to visit.
Are we recognizing them? Are we looking for them? I challenge you in 2017, actually last night at 6 o'clock, and I was going to say something about it, I didn't, but last night at 6 o'clock began Hanukkah. The Jewish day of Hanukkah begins at 6 in the evening. So last night as we began our service here, the Jewish day of Hanukkah began. It does not occur again on the same day of Christmas. It shifts all the way back up into November. Yes. Not by accident, but by God's design. Next Sunday morning's message is a message on where do we go from here? What happens from here? Now that we have seen, what do we do? How do we live? How do we live each and every day? In 1917, Lord Balfour wrote a declaration. He defeated the Turks that controlled the land of Israel. The Jews, for the first time, after having been dispersed for almost 2,000 years, were allowed to return to the land. In 1967, 50 years later, do you know what 50 is? 50 is the year of Jubilee. Seven sevens. Remember, the seventh year was what the Jews had neglected, and they had to go for 70 years into Babylonian captivity. Okay? The next year, following the seven sevens, or the 49th year, is the year of Jubilee. Guess when the next Jubilee occurs? According to our calendar, 2017, 50 years from 1967 is 2017. Listen to me carefully, and I'll close this message. You know as well as I do that God is at work in the affairs of men. You have to understand that if you read His Word. You have to understand that God is sovereign and God directs. And God is bringing everything together to fulfill His word according as He spoke it through the prophets. Therefore, if we understand that, therefore, if we know that, then we understand that next year is a pivotal year in Jewish history. You are living to see a Jubilee year. And so why all of the conversation with Russia? Why all of the conversation with our president-elect? Why all of the fuss and the fight and all that's taking place in our news and everything that's happening? Do you realize what took place just this past week? When the UN General Assembly voted not to allow Israel, listen carefully, to settle anymore on the West Bank side, and the United States, rather than vote for them, abstained. Church, listen to me. Get ready. God has given us a reprieve. But we need to be like those wise men, and we need to be like those humble shepherds. And we need to be authoritative enough in the word of our God that we recognize the signs. Wrapped in swaddling clothes, the lowest of the lowest, the humblest of the humblest, recognized who He was. A cross. He hung between two thieves. One railed on Him and said, "If you be who you say you are." The other one basically said, "Shut your mouth. We deserve what we're receiving. But this man has done no wrong." One chose, one rejected. One recognized, one didn't. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Are you watching? Are you ready? Are you expecting? Are you anticipating? I told somebody, and I close. I told somebody last night. They asked me, I said, well, do you understand that for a peace treaty to be signed, that Russia has to be softened? Hello? Hello? Well, the previous administration sure couldn't soften the heart of Vladimir Putin. Do you understand for a peace treaty to be signed? It will. It has to be. Do you understand that Russia's heart towards Israel has to be softened? Do you understand why we may have a president-elect Donald Trump? And a vice president-elect Mike Pence? Do you understand? Are you recognizing the signs? Are you reading your Bible? Because a peace treaty will be broken in the middle of that week. And then they will turn and they will march upon the nation that birthed our Savior. Would you bow your heads with me, please?